10 years ago, we really didn't understand that, you know, our gut health was literally linked to everything from our dog's lifespan to whether or not they're going to have allergies. When it comes to my own allergies, you know, one of the things that we find in my microbiome is that there's a complete class of bacteria that's not there. So, you know, that's pretty interesting. What, like, how is that bacteria processing maybe like foods I'm allergic to, you know, that is not happening when I eat them? So same goes for our dogs.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your natural dog healthcare host, Allura McKinley.
Well, welcome. It's nice to have you guys joining me again for another episode of the Pet Care Report. Now, I think almost every pet parent would want their dog to live a long and healthy life, and that usually includes giving them a really good quality diet. And we are constantly learning about how we can improve our dog's longevity just by tweaking their diet. And to chat about this further, I'm joined by Darren Lucas, who is the CEO and the founder of the non-GMO brand Yumwoof. Their premium air-dried food is personalized for every dog's breed, driven by data analytics and 250 clinical studies. He is also the author of The Canine Coco Mega Effect. He previously founded the VC-backed fintech startup CoinSetup, which he sold in 2016. He worked for JP Morgan and graduated from Rice University on the President's Honor Roll. Welcome to the podcast, Darren.
Thank you so much. That's quite the intro. And don't forget, we actually also have Sherlock here too. So he'll be here with us for the interview as well.
Welcome. Now, something that really fascinated me was actually the title of your book, as the Coco Mega Super Fat is something that's a bit foreign to me. Can you explain what it is?
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason I wrote a book to begin with is because I learned that all of my skin allergies were actually food allergies. So doctors are giving me all sorts of worse and worse medicine, getting to the point where they're like shooting me up with corticosteroids, which worked for a bit until it didn't. So, and then things, of course, got way worse. And so once I realized, I just did a food elimination diet, realized that, oh, like if I just don't eat nuts, seeds, and eggs, I am totally fine. That really got me on this deep dive where I really kind of leveraged my obsessive personality and my data analytics background to read 3,000 clinical studies. And one of the things that I found really interesting was this new research showing that combining coconut oil and omega-3s have these synergistic effects on each other, resulting in biomarkers that are associated with longevity, such as microbiome diversity being a primary one of them, and so ultimately better gut health, but also longevity and reduced inflammation. So for all of these dogs who have a lot of different inflammation-related health issues, whether that's allergies, you know, that could be skin-related issues, it could be diabetes and obesity too, which are also things that many people don't realize are inflammatory issues. All of these, pretty much most of the health issues can be benefited by combining these two, what I've called Coco Mega superfats. So, you know, the book goes in deep. You know, we start in kind of with what fats not to feed your dog, such as seed oils, and why that is. You know, this has been a hotly debated topic on my Instagram this year. And I've actually had a few posts blow up, but you know, the seed oil topic is one that you know, more and more people are learning about. They're very high in omega-6s, and then when you put those into dry kibble, they become oxidized, turning into free radicals. So we can go deeper into that later, but you know, I'm really passionate with when it comes to Yumwoof's pet food. Yumwoof, you know, we have been kind of obsessive about the ingredients that are going to go into our food. And a lot of those are really linked to what's been reflected in the clinical studies in my book. And yeah, you won't find any seed oils there.
Yeah. And I can tell you've done so much research into it. Do you mind sharing what some of the science is behind it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, funny enough, I like to joke that Hill's Pet Nutrition has terrible food, but a great research department. And a lot of this recent research has actually been done with Hill's. A lot of it's also been done out of Texas A&M, and then, I mean, various other universities as well. But, you know, we're based in Austin, so it's really cool to see Texas A&M also just taking, you know, a lot of people know that they have a great animal nutrition department. But it really is true. They're really on the forefront, especially on a lot of this research that's being done around fats. Yeah, it, you know, we point to 162 clinical studies in my book that really support this thesis around the Cocomega effect. But and one of the cool thing is just in the research that's been done to date. Again, this is there's a lot of research about omega-3s. There's a lot of research about coconut oil, which is another hotly debated topic in the industry. There are people who I won't name who, you know, used to be for it and now are strongly against it. But I believe I've probably read every single research report that exists up to May 2023. On coconut oil and MCTs that exists. And, you know, there are a couple of research studies that have been done that shown that it may have no effect, but there certainly aren't any that show in dogs that there is any negative effect. So there's, to my knowledge, never been a single research study done that shows that coconut oil has a negative effect on dogs. There are a couple out there that show that it may questionably not have any effect. And then the gross majority of them all show positive benefits. And that, again, is benefits on. So, for instance, one benefit that coconut oil had in one research study was a probiotic-like effect. So the lauric acid in the coconut oil actually, by effectively killing the bad gut bacteria in the digestive tract, allowed that space to refill with good bacteria. That was just one study. But what we find across all the studies is it basically, again, led to this microbiome diversity, which is really the key biomarker we look at in microbiome research, which, of course, is a new area of study. It's only about 10 years old. But that's why it's so exciting, because, you know, 10 years ago, we really didn't understand that, you know, our gut health was literally linked to everything from our dogs' lifespan to whether or not they're going to have allergies. When it comes to my own allergies, you know, one of the things that we find in my microbiome is that there's a complete class of bacteria that's not there. So, you know, that's pretty interesting. What, like, how is that bacteria processing maybe like foods I'm allergic to, you know, that is not happening when I eat them. So same goes for our dogs. You know, the research out there on all this is super, super interesting. And then another thing that we also see in the research for the people who like to kind of debate me on the seed oils, you know, first off, the omega-6s were shown to be pro-inflammatory, increasing the production of certain inflammatory molecules, such as PGE2 being like one of the really common ones that's talked about in research. You know, omega-3s, when we get the balance right, they're shown to actually decrease the production of PGE2, decrease inflammatory biomarkers in the body. And so that's why getting one of the other kind of big results that we come to in my book is we want to make sure that in our dogs, we keep the omega-3 to omega-6 balance correct. And we really want to target a 1-to-1 omega-3-to-6 balance. When you look at, just for an example, most fresh dog food today has a 1-to-6 omega-3-to-6 balance, meaning for every one anti-inflammatory molecule, we have 6 inflammatory molecules. Doesn't sound too good. It's not. You know, and it does cost more to have more anti-inflammatory fat ratios. Unfortunately, dry kibble is even worse. Dry kibble is a 1-to-16. You know, so for every anti-inflammatory 3, there's 16 inflammatory 6s. that's the same as American fast food. So that's the majority of dry kibble. It's why I always tell people, like, you know, please stop feeding your dog dry kibble. Fortunately, a lot of pet parents, especially probably many of the ones who are going to be watching this interview and care to this level, are probably not feeding dry kibble anymore. But I still talk to a lot of pet parents every week who tell me, you know, oh, but don't worry, I'm feeding my dog a high quality dry kibble. And I'm like, I love you, but I have to tell you, there is no such thing as a non-inflammatory dry kibble. And the reason is because the hot extrusion cooking process oxidizes all those fats, turning them into free radicals. So, you know, there's a reason why when we switch our dog off of dry kibble alone, they live 2 years longer at least. And then there's a lot more we can do, you know, for dogs who like are suffering from any sort of inflammation, which is really covered in my book. And it comes down to all these fats that we feed our dogs.
That's so interesting, because I was wondering why dry kibble was so high. If they use, like, I know some kibbles like to use coconut oil, does that still change with the extrusion process?
Well, luckily, coconut oil doesn't oxidize that easily. So that is a benefit. And let's say that you had a dry kibble and it did have coconut oil in it. I mean, it's going to have all sorts of problems in it. It will have those oxidized fats. It will have probably lots of other crappy ingredients. But as far as the Coke Omega effect goes, if the omega-3s are kept intact, and you know, so that would hopefully come from something like fish oil. Hopefully a pet parent might supplement that after, because if you put fish oil into a hot extrusion machine, it's definitely going to oxidize. So, I mean, people are concerned enough about like the salmon oil you get in a bottle to your house oxidizing because it was like shipped in heat and like was in the bottle for 6 months, like, which is a real concern. So definitely if you throw it through like this, like, high pressure grinding machine that, like, you know, cooks it at 450 degrees, like, that's going to oxidize. So, you know, it's always better to, you know, go, if anyone's trying to achieve this Coke Omega effect, it's always better to kind of do it, of course, with minimally processed food. A lot of times, if you don't see the fish oil in your dog's food, we can supplement that. We can also supplement the MCT oil or the coconut oil. You can really choose either one, but you just want to make sure that the MCT oil has lauric acid. So a lot of people, for instance, like anyone who goes on keto is going to be looking for an MCT oil that does not have lauric acid. And, you know, a lot of times it's looked at as in that community as kind of a throwaway ingredient or something that, you know, you wouldn't want. And there are reasons they view it that way. But in the case of producing these microbiome benefits, you want the lauric acid in there. So it's a lot of times just easier to get the coconut oil itself. But yeah, for anyone who wants to go deep on that, like MCT versus coconut oil, you can read my book. Both are going to produce the effect though.
Yep. So that's a good point. So for pet parents that are wanting to increase their dog's longevity and give them this benefit, how can they do that? You mentioned coconut oil. Is there anything else they can do?
Yeah. Well, the first step is looking at the cooking method of our dog's food, of course. And, you know, I just always really encourage people to understand that, like, if you are currently feeding dry kibble, like there is a hard stop there. Like, you're not, it's like feeding someone Cheerios every day who has diabetes and saying, like, okay, well, what can I add to my person's Cheerios so that they like get over this diabetes? It's just like not going to happen for all the reasons. But like, let's just start with the fact that like they need to eat a salad. So, you know, the first thing is really just getting to the fresh food. Definitely looking for a lower carb dog food is also important. Keeping the carbs under 30%. I personally try to keep Sherlock's under 20%. You know, going beyond that doesn't seem to be necessary according to the research. That's a whole other can of worms. But dogs, for instance, when I see things like keto dog food, you know, like a lot of people who go on a diet like keto, understand, okay, well, like maybe a high carb diet is a bad thing for my dog. You know, they grew up as carnivores out in the wild. So, you know, if we look at that as kind of a, you know, just maybe something that their body's biologically adapted to is maybe this lower carb diet. Okay, I want that for my dog. But the problem with keto dog food is actually dogs don't enter ketosis the same way humans do, just FYI for all the pet parents out there. Like dogs would have to starve for 3 days to enter ketosis. It's like not a lifestyle for them like it is for some humans. It's like literally just like they would have to starve for 3 days. So, you know, keto dog foods are a bit of a scam in my opinion, but the low carb aspect of it is very important. So, you know, some of the things that people point, I'm not a raw feeder. The microbiome research shows pretty unanimously that even though dogs have a lower pH in their stomachs and that, you know, will help kill some bacteria, that when you look at the microbiome of a raw fed dog versus something like air dried, they have more pathogens in their microbiome. And that's bad. Like, you know, when we look at the microbiome, pathogens bad and like good bacteria good. There are all sorts of ratios that can be used. For instance, there's like a B to F ratio if anyone wants to look into that. But it's really important how we cook our dog's food to start. And then keeping it low carb. So, I mean, the raw diet does get it right in a lot of ways, like looking to organ meat to get a lot of the vitamins and minerals is a really good practice, I believe, for both dogs and humans. The really great benefit dogs have is they love the taste of organ meat. I find very few humans like it, including myself. I wish I liked it more. I was cutting up these beef liver chunks and keeping them in my freezer every day and eating them like a vitamin. And it just got to a point where I was like, man, I hate my life doing this. But luckily dogs, <You're right. laughs> thank you. I try to, you know, do weird things. But luckily dogs love it. So, you know, We actually have a whole line that's about to come out called Perfect Superfood, where we've really taken that nose to tail feeding kind of mentality. This is going to be our new grain free line at Yum Wolf. So, you know, really taking nose to tail feeding mentality, getting no synthetics, getting all the vitamins and minerals from the organ meats. And, but then air drying it. So, you know, keeping the nutrients, but getting rid of the pathogens, the right balance that I like personally, or, you know, really fits the way I think about these things. And then, you know, it also fits the microbiome research because again, I'd say the last thing for people to really understand is, you know, if we want to improve our dog's longevity, the main thing we want to do is increase microbiome diversity. So there are different ways to do that. Definitely like a strict raw diet is also not the best for that. Like fiber is super important. You know, a lot of people also will question whether dogs need fiber. And first off, we can just look to like when dogs eat grass, which is technically a grain, by the way, but so you know that's more to think about. But you know, dogs eat fiber. They ate fiber in their ancestral diet, and fiber is like super super important for all aspects of gut health. And then the soluble fiber is really what is feeding. And this is another thing I talk about in my book here is, you know, when we feed our dogs soluble fibers, and there are lots of types of them, but inulin would be an example of it. It's converted in the microbiome into short chain fatty acids. And when those are then combined with these coco omega superfats, they actually have an additional boosting effect. So they increase the absorption of all the omega-3s. They have other synergistic properties with each other. And so it's really good to know. It's really cool stuff for anyone who's like really trying to get extra years out of their dog's life. You know, raw let's look at, you know, some of the benefits there. Let's use a little, apply a little common sense, like definitely getting vitamins and minerals from natural organs is going to make a lot more sense than like synthetics that have been like carved out of a rock. And there are reasons to believe that too. A lot of research showing how that can be like tied to kidney issues. It's weird, but the way vitamins and minerals work in the body is honestly like mind blowing. And
it's amazing, isn't it?
It's so weird. But yeah, definitely adding the right fats to our dog's diet, cooking in the right way, keeping it low carb to reduce inflammation. Those are the key takeaways that I would hope to share with pet parents who want to help their dogs live longer.
Yeah. And if pet parents wanted to add some healthy fats, what can they do to their food?
The first thing to do is to read your dog's label and make sure there aren't any seed oils in there. So seed oils and the biggest ones we tend to find in pet food, because when we talk about seed oils, there are a few kinds of seed oils that are okay. Like sesame oil, fine. You don't actually find it in pet food very often. We would also look at like hemp seed oil, which that's fine. It's really these highly processed ones that are high in omega-6. So the worst three offenders are safflower oil, sunflower oil, and canola oil. And globally, canola oil is also known as rapeseed oil, slightly different version of it, pretty much the same thing. So if those are in our dog's diet at all, like they're causing all sorts of havoc, and everything from like they're probably already oxidized and full of free radicals to the fact that they're like throwing all the omega 3 to 6 ratios off. You know, some of these topics that we touched on earlier. If we don't get rid of what's bad first, then it's really hard to get things right. So that's the first step. And then adding omega-3s and coconut oil are really the easiest two additions. And we're not talking about a lot. We're talking about like, you know, 1-2% of our dog's daily caloric intake here. Just a very little amount of these oils, it can go a long way. For anyone who, you know, wild Alaskan salmon oil is definitely kind of like the gold standard in the pet food industry today. There are some really interesting algae-based DHAs that are coming out. So those are cool. And then for anyone who hates their dog's breath smelling like fish, and I certainly hate it. Dogs do seem to love the taste though. So like for picky eaters, that's good. But yeah, if you hate it when your dog like comes to you and they smell all like salmon oil, try cod liver oil instead. That great source of DHA, also has a lot of vitamin D. Our grandparents were right about that one. Cod liver oil is very good stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Great tips. And then is there anything that pet parents would need to be aware of? Can any dog have coconut oil and fish oil?
Yeah, definitely for dogs with pancreatitis, you just want to make sure that this is fitting into, or any dog who needs a low fat diet, definitely probably want to consult with a veterinarian. Again, the problem or the thing to keep in mind here is like our dogs can still need fat. First off, like dogs who need a low fat diet still need fat. And the question is, what fats are we feeding them? So this can definitely still fit into any dog's diet, but you know, for dogs who do have kind of fat sensitivities like that, it's always a good idea to make sure that your dog is on a very low fat diet before you add more fats, and just like making sure that it stays within the range that your vet wants you to have it at.
Yeah, that's great. So simple for parents just to add in a few things to really increase their dog's longevity. And now with all this research you've done, you've created your own dog food brand. Can you tell us a bit about Yum Wolf?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, Yum Wolf, we are just about to turn 3 years old, and we make air-dried dog food made to very, very high standards. Our never list is extremely long. So, you know, with our food, not only is it, you know, kind of like all the benefits of fresh food, but then low carb, which you really don't find in many fresh brands, but we're taking all those kind of fresh ingredients and then gently air drying them to get rid of moisture. And then that keeps it shelf stable. So you don't have to refrigerate it. You can just like take your hand in the bag, put it in your dog's bowl. It's like very, very convenient. And it's filled with all these Coke Omega super fats. So it really takes away the need to like figure it out yourself. You can just kind of leverage the research we've done. It's all in the food already. And again, our never list is very long. So no peas, legumes, rice, potatoes. Rice and potatoes are two ingredients you find in almost every dog food, and it's because they are so cheap. So, you know, we've really not been willing to cut corners. You know, it is more expensive to do that, but at the end of the day, it's going to be healthier for our dogs. So I have, you know, really just been creating food for Sherlock here. Sherlock, see if he'll turn to the camera. You know, really, really just been trying to create food for him. And as a perfectionist, you know, mix that in there. That's Yum Wolf. My wife and I run it, so we're still you know, kind of a small family run brand, and you know, just kind of doing things according to our values.
That's amazing, and I loved your list of ingredients. It was so basic and natural.
Yeah, every single ingredient we did research on. So in addition to, and we probably need to update the numbers on our website, but separately from the 162 studies in my book, we actually had already done 250 studies that support perfect kibble, which despite the name is an air-dried dog food. We may change the name someday. But we had already, you know, really done research linking all of those ingredients to 250 studies for longevity. And so, yeah, it's a passion, you know, really just, I think applying data analytics to pet food has really had some interesting takeaways for us. And so that's one of the reasons we've, I think, been able to make our food stand out. But like you said, once you start feeding all natural ingredients, it is pretty simple. You know, it's just figuring out what ingredients have like a lot of inflammatory proteins in them, getting rid of those. And then what you're left with is still pretty simple, common sense ingredients.
And is Yum Wolf suitable to dogs of all ages?
It is. Yeah. All life stages, all breeds. Yeah. Puppies and up.
That's awesome. Now, I was looking at your Instagram the other day and I noticed that you partnered with the Maui Humane Society and you've made a huge donation. For a small business, you donated $33,000 worth of food to displaced dogs on the island of Maui. Can you tell us a bit more about that amazing work you've done?
Yeah, and thank you so much for mentioning that. This has been a crazy couple of weeks. So we, like you said, we just donated $33,000 of dog food. And actually, because a few media outlets have covered us, we've actually raised nearly 10K. And we're trying to raise 60, but we've already raised 10K to send even more food there. But this initial donation was us. Like I said, we're a small family brand. This certainly was a lot of money for us. It's the first major donation that I've ever made in my life. And I speak for both my wife, Anna, and I. It's been very fulfilling. You know, I've kind of been on this like year and a half long personal journey of figuring out what the deeper impact I wanted to make on the world is. And one thing I figured out, because we're lovers of the planet. And one of the things that I unfortunately figured out fairly early on in this exploration is that I'm not going to be able to fix climate change by myself. So once I realized that, I still was really trying to figure out how I could play, or how any of us really could play a role in. And what I realized is that it really comes down to people. You know, a lot of humans live near shores. also, like, a lot of people are going to get displaced over not just the next our lifetimes, but over the next 500 years. This is going to be a really big issue. And so I've devoted, as a long-term brand, I've devoted Yum Wolf into this, helping families with displaced dogs who are in these climate-related scenarios where they've been displaced. In the case of Maui, there were over 3,000 dogs who were separated from their families there. And when I heard that, it really, really struck my heart, and I wanted to help. And so we, you know, it was a big donation. But you know, it felt like the right thing to do. And so, you can on my Instagram, you can actually see the videos of it arriving just a few days ago. And man, that was so nice to see. And yeah, huge shout out to some of our partners on it. I was lucky to be introduced to this legendary guy named Shep Gordon, who is Alice Cooper's manager. Mike Myers did a whole documentary on him called Supermensch. Highly recommend checking that out, and you'll see why this is the most interesting man alive. And he's also kind of known as the unofficial mayor of Maui. So he hooked us up with everyone we needed to actually make this happen. Everything from our boots on the ground, you know, hooking us up with Maui Humane Society for that, getting all this dog food to all these dogs who are still displaced from their families, believe it or not. Many of them, most of them. And then, you know, he also hooked us up with this private travel. It's like a private kind of members club called Roam Maui that has a whole bunch of private planes that they luckily lended to us to fly all of our food out there so that we didn't have to pay for it. Because you can imagine flying our food to Maui. We're talking like 10 pallets or something here. Like, it was a lot of food. And that would have been really, really costly for a small brand. So luckily, some partners came in to save the day.
What a wonderful way to make an impact, and on so many dogs too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I really hope it's just the beginning. I am starting to talk to people to understand how we can form our own foundation and how we can keep doing this in the future. So that is something that we're really, really working on. The other thing is we are hoping that people who watch this go to yumwoof.com/Maui, and any contribution you would like to make, you'll see a link there to our GoFundMe. So any contribution you make is going to go straight to us sending our dog food at our cost without a profit. So we will not make any profits on this. We'll probably have a slight loss, but it's all for a good cause. But anyone who wants to help, the best way to do it is to go to yumwoof.com/Maui. You know, just our GoFundMe link is there. And we're trying to send 6 times more food this month.
That's great. And I really hope all our listeners, as soon as you get off this episode, you jump on and just go make a small donation, because every little bit will make a huge impact.
Yes, thank you for anyone who does that.
Yeah. So if our pet parents were going to take away just one tip from this episode, what should it be?
You know, my one tip is fats matter. Look at the fats in your dog's diet right now. Look at the pet food label. Get to know what's in there, and know that seed oils are very high in omega-6s and oxidize easily. When we feed our dog lots of free radicals, that's a key cause of cancer in both dogs and humans. Any biological animal, free radicals are bad. So, you know, we can reverse this by feeding more omega-3s combined with coconut oil. That's the Coco-Mega effect that's been shown in all of these studies. And so, you know, just really simply put, supplement the right fats, coconut oil, and omega-3s.
Lovely. And it's so simple. And if people want to know more, you do have a book and a website. Can you just mention what they are?
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for mentioning that. My book can be found on Amazon. It's called The Canine Coco-Mega Effect. So it's Coco-Mega. And I'm Jaron Lucas again. I'm, you know, you'll find my name as the author right next to it. And yeah, I think it's a really great way for pet parents who either want to really just dive into some of the really new research around canine longevity and how fats play into that. It's really interesting for those people. I find that a lot of the readers who have chosen to read The Canine Coco Mega Effect have been people whose dogs have really bad allergies, like colitis or other digestive issues. Obesity is a big one. Those have been like a few main reasons people have like kind of been in a situation where they really wanted to learn more, and they're looking for new ways to help because maybe other things haven't worked yet. And, you know, a lot of times we find in those scenarios, you know, they're okay, well, yeah, there's like a lot of seed oils in my dog's diet right now. And here are some things that I maybe wasn't looking for previously. So yeah, we dive into all of that in the book.
That's great. And if people want to try your food, it's called Yum Wolf. Put it into Google. Yeah, and you'll be able to try Jaron's food. And as he mentioned, he is releasing some new stuff soon. So have a look. That is very exciting. Congratulations. And thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for such an interesting conversation. Appreciate the invite.
It was great. And for our listeners that would like to watch more, you need to follow, subscribe, and leave a review. And if there's something you want me to talk about on these podcasts, then let me know. But we'll see you again next time.
Bye, guys.